Amen. If you would turn with me to Psalm 94. Psalm 94. Thank God for Reverend Christian being back with us. Amen. And you can testify to the fact that he may not come when you want, but he's always on time. Amen. Psalm 94. Verse 12. I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version, Psalm 94, starting at verse 12. Thank my mother for being here another Sunday. I'm starting to think she's checking up on me, making sure I'm doing the right thing. Amen. That's what mothers do, right? Amen. Psalm 94, verse 12 says, "Happy are those whom you discipline, O Lord, and whom you teach out of your law, giving them respite from days of trouble until a pit is dug for the wicked. For the Lord will not forsake his people. He will not abandon his heritage. For justice will return to the righteous, and all the upright in heart will follow it. Who rises up for me against the wicked? Who stands for me against evildoers? If the Lord had not been my help, my soul would soon have lived in the land of silence. When I thought my foot is slipping, your steadfast love, O Lord, held me up. When the cares of my heart are many, your consolation cheer my soul." I just want to read verses 18 and 19 again. "When I thought my foot is slipping, your steadfast love, O Lord, held me up. When the cares of my heart are many, your consolations cheer my soul." For a few moments this morning, I'm going to preach from the subject, "He kept me." He kept me. Let us pray. Lord God, you are so great, so awesome, so mighty, and there's so many adjectives that we could give to your name, Lord God, but we just thank you for being who you are, and we thank you for allowing us to be who you have created us to be. And Lord God, we thank you for allowing us to be in relationship with you through Jesus the Christ, the one who suffered, the one who died for us, but the one who was resurrected with all power and authority in heaven and earth. And it's because of that power and authority that we realize that you're an on-time God. Lord God, you've been faithful. You've been true. You've loved us like no one else could love us. And because of that, we're so grateful. Lord God, we thank you for what has taken place thus far. We thank you for the songs of praise that have been lifted up to you. Lord God, we thank you for the prayers that have been petitioned unto you. Lord God, we thank you for the giving throughout this service on today. And Lord God, we thank you for your word that is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. So Lord God, give us eyes to see, give us ears to hear what it is that you are speaking to us so that we may apply it to our lives and may help others to come into a relationship with you. Lord God, we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. He kept me. Now, many of you may disagree with the statement that I'm about to make, but I'm going to make it anyway. When we were little, some of us were bad sometimes. And maybe I shouldn't say we were bad, but we did some bad things in our life. Most of us weren't good at hiding our naughtiness. There are some things that are impossible to hide, and there are some things that are more disastrous with great consequence. I'll be transparent on today and let you know that there were some bad things that I did in my childhood. There were some things that I did and may have tried to hide them, but how many know that mom and daddy always has a way of finding out? I'll give you one quick story. I was about 2 years old, according to my mother. It was early one Sunday morning, and for some reason I was able to obtain some matches or a cigarette lighter, and I went under my bed and set the floor on fire. And she lets me know that I tried to blame it on my two older brothers. That was a bad thing. That I tried to hide. But somehow, a mother still found out that it was me. And just like in childhood, many of us may do some bad things and we may try to hide it, even in adulthood. Y'all gonna be real with me on today? We may do some bad things and we may try to hide those things from God. But how many of us know that God is a God that not only sits high and looks low, but he sees and knows everything that we're going to do? Some of us, others of us, were good at getting away or hiding and being deceptive about the bad things that we've done. We think we've gotten away with it, but sometimes those things continue to haunt us through bad memories, through guilt, through hurting ourselves or others. And maybe it wasn't a physical hurt, but there may have been plenty of emotional and mental problems and scars that we may have experienced in our life. And we have to be true and honest that sin will destroy us if we don't get that thing right. We're here in the book of Psalms. The writer David is talking about how God's children did not always get it right. God's children at some times missed the mark. In other words, they sinned. They didn't always live the way that God wanted them to live. They didn't always do the things that God wanted them to do. They didn't always live up to the expectations of what their father had in store for them. And just like the children of Israel, as children of God ourselves, sometimes we miss the mark. Sometimes we fall short of God's expectations over our lives. Do I have any witnesses in the house on today? Through Bible study this past week, we continue to talk about the secrets of the vine through in John chapter 15, and where it talks about Jesus being the vine and we're being the branches and God is the vine dresser. And last week we talked a little bit about how the sometimes the branches that are not bearing fruit, they grow in a direction that does not allow them to bear fruit. They grow towards the ground, and certain things happen when they grow towards the ground. That means they're going away from the intended purpose of the way that they're supposed to go. Dust begins to get on the leaves. Then sometimes when it rains, that dust turns into mud, and that mud it causes mildew on the leaves. But the vine dresser, he walks through the vineyard and he doesn't cut off the branch that is not bearing fruit because he sees it as so valuable. But what he does is he lifts the branch up. He takes it up. And he washes off the dirt and the mud and the mildew. And not only does he do that, but he puts it in a position so that it can grow the way that God intended for it to grow. And we can use that analogy in our lives. That sometimes we grow in the wrong direction. Sometimes we get some dirt on us by the people that we might hang out with. Sometimes we may get some dust on us by the things that we do in our lives, and it begins to rain and pour in our lives, and we get a little muddy and we get a little mildewed, and God has to come by and wash us off and lift us up to the place where he can help us to grow into the people that he wants us to be. I've got some additional news for us on this morning. That washing process that we have to go through, sometimes that's the discipline that we have to endure because we're not listening and doing the things that God wants us to do. Again, this past week we talked about the 3 degrees of love and how when there may be a verbal warning, which is rebuke, You know, we talked about, and I gave the example of sitting at the dinner table and our mothers giving us that look when we just can't seem to get ourselves together. Y'all know what that look means. Many of you have gotten that look from the choir stand as you were sitting out in the pew and your mother just gave you that look. And you knew what that means. You straighten up, get yourself together, or I'm gonna have to help you get yourself together. There was a certain look. And then sometimes somebody may say something to you. There's a verbal form of discipline that we had to undergo. And then if we still couldn't get ourselves together, sometimes you may be sent to your room to wait for whatever was coming next. I don't know if it was a switch. I don't know if it was a belt. I don't know if it was a race car track. Whatever was coming next. Sent to your room. I didn't get too many beatings growing up because I learned from my older brothers what not to do or how not to get caught. But you're sent to your room and there's a feeling of shame, of disappointment, of abandonment, of feeling alone, of fear, because you don't know what is coming as you're sent off to your room. And just like that, we God allows us to go through things where we may not feel connected to him. We may feel that that God has forsaken us, that God has left us all alone. But sometimes people don't get what they need to get from the verbal rebuke. They don't get what they need to get from going and being in a timeout, if you will. Some people have to go to another level with God. Or sometimes God has to take us to another level. That if we just continue to sin over and over again and we don't care what the consequence may be, God allows certain things to happen in our lives so he can try to get us our attention so that we can do what we need to do to turn our lives around, to turn away from the sin. And again, that third level is a level that we really don't want to get to. But that's a level that the children of Israel got to. God sent prophets and tried to give them verbal discipline. God tried to help them to understand that yes, they were still his children and he loved him, but he had to help them to understand that he was the one who was in control. He was the one who was calling the shots, and they needed to fall in line with what he was trying to get them to do, to live an abundant life. He held them up in the wilderness for 40 years. What should have been a few days' journey, he allowed to take 40 years. Some people just had to die off. Some people couldn't go into the promised land. He was trying to prepare them to accept the blessings that he had for them, but he had to hold some people up because they weren't going to cross over into the promised land, Moses included. But not only were they held up for 40 years in the wilderness going through preparation to receive the blessings that God wanted them to get, but they had adversaries. They had people who were trying to oppress them. They had people who were trying to take them out. And that was the scourging that they had to go through. That was the beating that they had to take. Not necessarily a physical beating, but a spiritual beating that they had to take to try to get their attention so that the Lord could help them to get to the place that he wanted them to be. We can see that in the first 11 verses where David is trying to help his oppressors to understand that God was still on their side. First 11 verses, we can go over that another time, but I want to focus on verses 12 through 19 because he tries to help us to understand the importance of being disciplined by God. And again, we're disciplined because God loves us. God wants what's best for us. Verse 12 says, "Happy or blessed are those whom you discipline, O Lord, and whom you teach out of your law." We know that discipline means to teach. It doesn't mean to beat down. It doesn't mean to necessarily punish. Some consequences may come, but the ultimate result that we want from discipline is to be taught. You want your children to understand the importance of respecting their elders, and not only respecting their elders, but respecting themselves and other people. You want your children to grow into adulthood knowing what to do and how to carry themselves and how to live a life that is pleasing unto God. And just like we want that for our children, God wants that for us. And he says, blessed are those whom you discipline and whom you teach out of your law. The Lord is trying to teach us. He's trying to instruct us in his ways. He's trying to get us to a point where we're focusing on him and not on the situations or circumstances that we may find ourselves in. Blessed are those whom you discipline and whom you teach out of your law. But he goes on to say, giving them relief or respite from days of trouble until a pit is dug for the wicked. The people, the enemy that tries to come against us, all the things that the enemy tries to throw our way. He says, even in the midst of our circumstance, even in the midst of our struggle, even in the midst of our pain and suffering, there's relief that he provides. You may think and ask the question, well, how can I find relief in my suffering? God is allowing us to go through our circumstances. But just as the choir sung, he's with us there each and every step of the way. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's what his word said. We can look at the life of David. He, in Psalm 23, he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Yes, I'm walking through darkness. Yes, I'm going through life circumstances, but you are there with me each and every step of the way. I can find relief from my days of trouble. But he also goes on to say that the Lord will not forsake or reject his people or his inheritance. That's more reassurance that the Lord is with us. He will not abandon his heritage. The Lord will not forsake or reject his people. Those who he loved, those who in relationship with him, he won't reject you. This is not for the people of the world. This is for God's people. Those who have come into relationship with him through Jesus the Christ, he says, I'll never forsake you and I won't abandon my heritage. For justice will return to the righteous and all the upright in heart will follow it. Let's drop down to verse 18, because this is where I get a little happy. The writer is saying, with all that's going on, through being oppressed, through going through life circumstances, through going through the pain and suffering, it's so many things going on in my mind, and there's so many things that's going on in my life, and I can't feel that, I don't feel stable in my daily life. He says, when I thought my foot is slipping, When things seem so chaotic in my life, when things seem unbalanced, when things just don't seem to be going right, when I felt my foot was slipping, he says, your steadfast love, or in other words, your mercy, held me up. That should help us to understand that God wants what's best for us. That no matter what's going on in our life, no matter what situation or circumstance we find ourselves in, no matter if we feel like we're about to lose it all, he says, when my foot is slipping, your mercy, your steadfast love, it held me up. It gave me stabilization. It gave me a foundation to stand upon, a solid rock, if you will. And because you're able to give me a solid rock. He goes on in verse 19 and says, when the cares of my heart are many, or the anxieties or the fears continue to build up in my life because of the instability that I have, because I'm not closely connected with you the way that I need to be, he says, your consolations cheer my soul. When your mind just continues to race over and over, when you can't get good sleep at night? How many of you may pace the floor at night worrying about what the next day may bring? He says, when all of that is going on, he says, your consolations cheer my soul. David is trying to help us to understand that yes, we may go through. May be sickness. May be some type of a relationship that we might have that is not necessarily working out the way that we want it to work out. May be some financial issues that we might be facing. He says, but when I still feel my foot slipping, you're there to hold me up with your mercy. But not only are you there to hold me up with your mercy, he says, the cares of my heart, the anxieties that I may feel, your consolations cheer my soul. And that's good news on today. So because no matter where we may find ourselves in life, no matter what we may be feeling like we're going through, no matter if we feel like we're going to lose it all, God can still hold us up and cheer our soul. And there's so many witnesses, as Sister Mitchell said, that can testify to the fact that when they felt their foot was slipping, when they found themselves in some dangerous situations, the mercy of God was very present in their life. We can look at the three Hebrew boys who, because of the righteousness that they had and the respect and love that they had for the Lord, they were thrown into a fiery furnace, turned up 7 times hotter than what it was supposed to be. So hot that the guards that wrapped them up in the ropes were burned up before they even decided to jump into the fire. If you go back to the story, it says that they could have stood there, but they leaned into the fire. They leaned into the dangerous situation. They leaned and they jumped into whatever they were willing to go through because they believed that God had their back. And as we know, the story goes that there were 3 that went in, but Nebuchadnezzar saw 4 walking around. And as they came out of the fire, as they came out of their fiery situation, there was no stench of smoke upon their body. There was no clothing burned up, that God delivered them from their fiery situation. If that's not your favorite Bible story, then we can go on to Jonah, and we can understand that Jonah was instructed to go and to proclaim the word of God to a certain group of people, and Jonah, being who Jonah was, he says, I'm not going to do anything. Many of us try to get that bold with God. I tried that a few times in my life, and it didn't necessarily work out the way that I thought it was going to work out. And Jonah said that I'm not going to speak to this certain group of people. And he tried everything to avoid the assignment that God was putting on his life. He even got on a boat, and the storms began to rage, and the winds began to blow, and the ship was shipwrecked, and people were wondering, why are we going through this storm? And they realized that it was because of Jonah and his defiance of the Lord. But he was shipwrecked. But the story goes on to let us know that the Lord kept him. He kept him in the belly of a fish. Even when we find ourselves directly disobeying what the Lord tells us to do, even when we put ourselves in harm's way, God will still keep us. Maybe that's not your Bible story. Maybe your favorite Bible story is Job. And Job was doing everything right. Yeah. He was living his life the way that God wanted him to live. Yeah. But God wanted to prove a point to the enemy. Yeah. That there was still somebody out there who was willing to stay by God's side. Yeah. No matter what they went through, no matter what they lost, no matter what had to happen, he was willing to put Job to the test. Job was a prosperous man. He was a businessman, and he had things going on, and he was a fruitful man. He had children and had a wife, but sometimes children mess up. find ourselves in the wrong place at the wrong time. The children, we know the story, they were partying and they were doing their thing. They were turned up, as the young people would say. Y'all still say turned up? Okay, all right, all right. I ain't as old as I think I am. They were turned up, they were lit. They were partying and doing all that they were big and bad enough to do. But they lost their lives. Job lost his children. But then he was stricken with illness. Not only was he stricken with illness, but he lost his business. He lost his way of living. And he got to the point where his wife just told him to curse God and die. But Job, realizing that if he was willing to hold out and hold to God's unchanging hand, that he would be there right on time. He understood that, yes, I may be going through. Yes, I may be struggling that at this point. And yes, my foot may feel like it's slipping, but your mercy, Lord, it holds me up. He realized that if he continued to hold on to God's unchanging hand, that he realized that God would keep him. And maybe you can't identify with any of those stories in the Bible, but you can look back over your life and you can look at your life now and see the things that you have gone through. You can see the things that you might be experiencing right now. Yes, you may not get it right all the time. Yes, you may smoke some things that you're not supposed to smoke. Yes, you may drink some things that you're not supposed to drink. Yes, you may eat some things that you're not supposed to eat. Yes, you may say some things that you're not supposed to say. We may find ourselves in some dangerous situations because the Lord is trying to get our attention, to turn us back, to get us to repent from our sins and to turn back towards Him. But here's the reality of the situation, that even when we find ourselves in those situations, it's the Lord who's disciplining us and teaching us from His word. It's the Lord that, even though we find ourselves in those situations, He's able to provide relief in our times of trouble. Even though we may feel like we're unstable in all our ways and we're doing everything that we can do according to our own strength, but we have to realize that we have to depend on the strength and the authority of Jesus Christ. And when we feel like our feet are slipping, it's the mercy of the Lord that holds us up. And when we feel like our mind is racing and we feel all the anxieties that are going on because the place that we find ourselves in, the Lord will give your soul some cheer. Is there anyone here who can testify to the fact that it was the Lord who kept them? One songwriter put it this way: I've come through many hard trials, through temptations on every hand, though Satan tried to stop me and to place my feet on sinking sand. Through the pain and all of my sorrows, through the tears and all of my fears, the Lord was there to keep me, for He's kept me in the midst of it all. It's not because I've been so faithful. It's not because I've always obeyed. No, it's not because I trusted Him to be with me all of the way, but it's because He loves me so dearly. He was there to answer my calls, but He was there always to protect me, for He's kept me in the midst of it all. Is there anybody here who can testify to that? That I've come through hard trials and had temptations on every hand, and the enemy tried to stop me, but God kept me in the midst of it all. And maybe that's not your song, but I remember a song being sung that I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea, He heard my despairing cry, and from the waters He lifted me. Now safe am I. It was God who kept us. It was God who is continuing to keep us in our daily lives. And we ought to give God some praise for keeping us. We ought to give God some praise for holding us up. We ought to give God some praise for cheering our souls. But not only did He cheer our soul, not only did He hold us up, but He held the Lord up some 2,000 years ago on a hill called Calvary. And because he was willing to be beat for our transgressions, because he was being willing to be bruised for our iniquities, by his stripes we are healed. Because he was willing to take the nails in his hands and he was willing to have the crown of thorns placed on his head, we realize that he was the one who was willing to keep us. And he was willing to give up his spirit for us all. And he was willing to go down to the deep depths of hell to conquer death, hell, and the grave. Jesus realized that it was God who kept him. It was God who was there to deliver him. That it was God who was there to resurrect him from his situations. And the same God who was able to resurrect Jesus and give him all authority in heaven and earth is the same God who can resurrect us from our situations. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you may have on your mind, but realize it's the Lord who's able to keep you. So as we stand across this place on today, as we are so grateful and thankful for God keeping us, we invite anyone who may not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. We invite you to come into a covenant relationship with the Lord. You've been trying to do this thing on your own.